Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Iman faith is of two halves. Iman is two halves. One half is gratitude, a shukr, and the other half of Iman is a sabr, patience. So patience and gratitude together make al-Iman, which you need to enter the paradise. The part of a shukr is when we fulfill Allah Azza wa Jal's commandments. So when we pray, when we fast, and we do the obligatory deeds, that is a shukr being fulfilled. The other half is a sabr. And we need sabr in order to complete our Iman. When we zoom into as-sabr and look into as-sabr, patience, we realize that patience is of three types. And this is important so you can understand where this lecture is going. The first type of patience is when you are fulfilling and performing the worships. Every worship requires sabr. Every worship requires patience. When you get up in the morning and make wudu for as-salat, that's a difficult task. That needs patience. Every single day, when you're praying five times a day and on time, that's not easy. That requires a lot of patience. It's difficult. Ramadan comes once a year and you have to fast the entire month. It requires a lot of sabr from you, right? So the obligations that Allah put upon us and the commandments of Allah require a lot of patience. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ. Worship Allah Azza wa Jal and remain patient upon His worship. That's the first type of patience when it comes to the obligations. The second type of patience is when it comes to the prohibitions. So when you avoid sins and you avoid al-haram, that also requires patience, right? It all requires patience. The second type of patience is the patience that is required when you are avoiding sins and transgression. So now, as zina today is rampant in the society that we live in across the world, it is very easy to commit a zina. A zina is not only one form. The eye commits a zina when you see al-haram. So we said, the second type of patience is patience when it comes to the sins and avoiding al-haram. That requires patience. And we said, for example, a zina is a sin, it's a prohibition. And so now, a zina is not one type in where just a man and woman meet each other and they sleep together. A zina of the eyes. A zina of the eyes that requires a lot of patience for you to hold yourself and restrain yourself from watching al-haram. A zina of the tongue, when a person speaks inappropriate words to the opposite gender, that requires a lot of patience for you to hold yourself back. A zina of the hands, to touch inappropriately. A zina of the legs, to walk to al-haram. This, especially in this society, is so easily for a person to fall into it. So when you hold yourself back, that's patience, and you are rewarded for every time you decide to hold yourself back from al-haram. So that's the second type of patience. And go on with all the sins and all the prohibitions. So patience is required when you keep away from sins. So don't ever think that when you avoid a sin, that you just lost a moment of pleasure. You could have pleased yourself and enjoyed a few moments with al-haram, but I lost this. La, because when you avoid al-haram, you are being patient, and that patience Allah is rewarding you for it. It doesn't go to waste. It is being rewarded. And you are fulfilling this half of al-Iman, which is patience, which is required to complete al-Iman as a whole. And then the third type of patience is patience upon the calamities of this worldly life. You lost health, you lost wealth, you lost a loved one. That requires patience. How do you be patient when you go through a calamity in life? Is to say, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's patience. If you are able to say that and to say Alhamdulillah upon the calamity, then you are exercising patience. And if you are to say other than that which pleases Allah, such as saying, why this patience? Or why this calamity? Why did Allah give this to me? It seems to me that Allah doesn't love me. Allah is not just in His decrees, and so on. Words like this are displeasing to Allah. You have lost your patience in a moment of calamity. So these are the three types of patience. And I wanted to start with that so we can speak about the fact that breaking free from evil and temptation requires patience. And here, al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they said that keeping away from the prohibitions, keeping away from sins and al-haram is much better and more rewarding than engaging in voluntary deeds. Why? Yani, let me give you an example. If a person spent the night praying Salat al-Layl, 6-7 hours of the night, he's praying 2 rak'at after 2 rak'at after 2 rak'at, he read 10 ajza. And that very same person, let's say he didn't pray the night, but he was fighting himself from a sin. His mind is telling him, watch al-haram, do al-haram. And he's fighting himself, eventually he wins the battle and he keeps away from al-haram. For you to keep away from al-haram is much more rewarding than to pray an entire night of salat. Why? Because the one who left al-haram, he performed an obligation. It is wajib to keep away from al-haram. It is an obligation. Praying the night is not wajib. It is recommended. And in Islam, the obligations take preference and precedence over the recommended deeds. Therefore, an entire night of you struggling against yourself and the shaitan to keep away from a sin is much, much more rewarding. This is why I said to you, don't ever be fooled to think that I wasted a moment of pleasure. I could have pleased myself and no one would have saw me. La wallah, if you kept away, you have fulfilled an obligation. And you are increasing in your iman at that very moment. How does iman increase? And how do you think iman increases? From the ways in how iman increases is by keeping away from sins. When you avoided a sin for the sake of Allah, at that very moment your iman increased. Allahu Akbar. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَمَنْ هَمَّ بِسَيِّئَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كُتِبَتْ لَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً. Anyone who desired and was concerned to do a bad deed, but he left it and he didn't do it, Allah would record for him one hasana. A hasana that he didn't do. But the hasana that is recorded is because he was patient and was able to keep away from the sin. And this opinion that I shared with you is the opinion of Aisha radiallahu anha, wal Hasan, wa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, wa Ibn Rajab rahimahumullah, and so many of al-ulama. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمِ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Avoid the prohibitions and you will be the most righteous among mankind. Why is that the case? Because doing righteous deeds, everyone can do that. Even the criminal can do righteous deeds. Give a sadaqah, feed a poor, shelter a poor, look after a homeless. Everyone does that. The righteous, the corrupt, the sinner, everyone does it. But who keeps away from prohibitions? Only the righteous. Only the righteous keep away from sins. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, avoid the sins and you will be the most pious among all of mankind. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he said, مَا عَبَدَ الْعَابِدُونَ بِشَيْءٍ أَفْضَلَ بِتَرْكِهِمْ مَا نَهَاهُمُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he said, the best thing a worshipper can do concerning his servitude to Allah, the best thing a slave could do is avoid that which Allah Azza wa Jal prohibited. Look at the emphasis of al-ulama al-salaf when it came concerning sins. Where are these words in our lives? Today the people, the sins, not people, the vast majority don't care whether a sin is minor or major. Doesn't matter. No one saw me. No one is going to watch me. No one recorded it against me. And even say if someone spoke again about me, who is he to bring it up in the gatherings and speak about me? And subhanAllah, nas are on a highway in their sins, not noticing what al-ulama and the scholars of Islam had of an approach towards sins. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, take this. He said, raddu daniqin mimma yakrahu Allah ahabbu ilayya min 500 hajja. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, for me to return 0.65 grams of gold, for me to return this haram money, return it back to its rightful owner, is much more beloved to me than performing 500 hajj. You need 500 years to do 500 hajj, because it only comes once a year. For him to free himself from a sin is much more beloved than engaging in a voluntary deed. Allahu Akbar. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said about one of the categories that enter into the shade of Allah on the Day of Judgment, he said, وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتُ مْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. A man who was approached by a woman who looked pretty and beautiful, and she also had a position of authority and leadership. And he said to her, I fear Allah, I don't want to commit al-haram with you. You know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he described in this case a woman that had beauty and she also had a position of authority. Why? Because a woman with beauty is very difficult to resist. And a woman that has authority, it's like you have to fall into what she wants, because she'll use her authority to prison you. You'll get in trouble. She'll blackmail you. So if you said to that kind of woman, like Yusuf alayhi salam with Imra'atul Aziz, that's the very same thing. She had looks and she was in a position of authority. To say to that woman, Inni akhafullah, I fear Allah, I don't want to fall in al-haram. That Allah Azza wa Jalla will put such a person under his shade on the Day of Judgment. Why? What good deed did he do? The fact that he avoided a sin. He avoided a sin. So look at the high reward that he had on the Day of Judgment. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, he said, لَيْسَ التَّقْوَى صِيَامُ النَّهَارِ وَلَا صَلَاةُ اللَّيْلِ التَّقْوَى أَدَاءُ مَا افْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ وَتَرْكُ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is teaching us something. He said, don't assume that piety is to fast the days, voluntary fasting we're talking about, and to pray the nights. Don't think that's what righteousness is. That's something of righteousness. But he said, the real righteousness is to do what Allah obligated and to keep away from that which Allah prohibited. That's what righteousness is. So now I share with you a few methods. These are methods. The more you have of them in your life, the quicker you'll break free from your sin and your temptation. And the less you have of them, that's what the problem would be for why you continuously fall into your sin. So now as you listen, see which one is involved in your life and which one is not. If it's not involved in your life, start working on it. These are practical steps, and there is nothing better than this for you to break addiction and break the sins. Today people are paying thousands and thousands of dollars attending courses how to break free from an addiction and rehabs and so on. No problems, that could be beneficial. But high and above all of this is the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the directions of Allah azza wa jal and the explanation of our ulama. Number one, in order to break free from a sin and a temptation, you first need to know that sins are repulsive, abhorrent, disgusting and filthy in nature. That's the first thing you need to know when you're tempted to commit a sin. You see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal only forbade the sins because they are disgusting and filthy in nature. And when you are aware of this fact, this becomes a reason for why a person can remain patient in avoiding a sin. I give you an example. The normal human being whose fitrah is still intact, it hasn't been changed, His natural disposition is still normal and fresh, like how Allah gave him. Runs away from anything that is filthy and disgusting. Then I'll give you an example. If you smelt a bad smell, a normal human being, what does he do? He blocks his nose and he runs away. If you tasted something really bad, normal human being will spit it out and will never eat that thing ever again. If you saw something filthy and disgusting, let's say you entered a public bathroom and you saw urine around the toilet and so on, and it smells, it stinks, you run out of there, even if you had to hold it in until you go back home, because the look was very disgusting and filthy. A natural human being runs away from that which is filthy and disgusting, and a normal human being would come close to that which is beautiful and pleasant. If I smell something like this barbecue that we're smelling outside, you come near it, you approach it, right? And you want to know, but what's this? And what's this perfume you have on? Can you give me its name? I want to purchase it. This is a normal human being. Runs away from what's filthy and comes closer to that which is good. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, when He describes sins in the Quran, these are the words He uses. Al-munkar, al-dhamb, al-khaba'ith, al-fawahish, which all refers to the matter that the sins are disgusting and filthy and horrible and evil in nature. And there's a very important principle here to know, and that is that Allah Azza wa Jal never forbids anything upon us except that it is harmful and damaging and destructive to us, to our body and to our soul and to our spiritual state. If someone was to ask, why is this haram? Why did Allah make this haram? You know what the answer is? Always your default answer should be because it's harmful to the human heart, to his body. It's harmful to society, to al-Iman. It harms you in the grave. It harms you in the afterlife. There is absolutely no goodness in what Allah Azza wa Jal declared haram. Take a look at, for example, let's take alcohol as an example. How many times does it appear on the news that after long research, scientists have realized that a cup of alcohol is beneficial for you? 3 years later, actually that study was wrong, zero alcohol is good for you. 2 years after that, half a cup is good. 4 years later, actually no, alcohol is good. And they are confused and misguided, going between, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good. The believer is not confused. Why is the disbeliever confused? Because he has no wahi in his life. He doesn't follow the revelation of Allah, so he remains confused. Whereas the believer has the wahi of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal considered alcohol from al-khaba'ith a filthy, disgusting sin. Therefore, we will never be confused. The West is misguided because they don't have wahi. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide them. Tayyib. Drugs. You all know the harms of drugs on the individual, in the society, and in the community, and so on, very clear. Pork, and look at it, harms on the human being and his health, and so on. Look at al-riba. Al-riba is oppression. Can you see how harmful it is upon the people? Yani, this world and all its banks around the world have been raising the interest rate time and time again. It just keeps going up. You think people love this? People hate this. It's oppression.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
How many people have fallen into mental illness and depression and suicide because of al-riba? You see the harms in everything that Allah made haram. Look at the harms in it. There's absolutely no goodness in it. Look at smoking and vaping and a shisha and what kind of harm it brings upon a person. Look at az-zina. Az-zina, it brings with it HIV, AIDS, genital warts. It harms society. Kids are abandoned. Murder is legalized as a result of a zina. Here in Australia, at least, for example, abortion is legal until the age of 6 months. Sure, 6 months. 6 months, it's already a child that looks like a child. And here there's a law that permits if a woman, according to my body, my choice, she wants to abort this child, no problems. 6 months, even if it's a healthy child, two doctors get involved, no problems. We'll cut him into pieces and we'll take him out. See what az-zina did? It led to murder. This is why az-zina and murder were always mentioned together in the Quran. Look at homosexuality. Where's the goodness in that? A person risks anal cancer, genital warts, AIDS, HIV, monkeypox, human papillomavirus, hepatitis A, B, C, which have no cure, on medication for life. Where's the goodness in that? There's no goodness at all. Look at pornography and adult content that is online. It creates addiction that's harmful. Isolation, increased aggression, distorted beliefs and perceptions about relationships, negative feelings. For what? For 1 or 2 minutes that a person wanted to enjoy, and then he suffers all these consequences afterwards. Even the point is, when Allah makes something haram because it's disgusting, it's harmful, it's filthy, it's going to kill your physical body and your spiritual side, it's going to destroy you in your grave, in the afterlife, there's no goodness in it. That's knowledge you need, because this is the greatest tool and weapon that keeps you away from sins. That's how you're able to break from an evil temptation and a sin, by recalling all of these matters. And so, the intelligent, sane person keeps away from that which is harmful. Wallahi, yani, it was mentioned that some of the Arabs never used to drink alcohol. And when they were asked about this, you know what they answered? These are Bedouins. They don't believe in Allah. They wouldn't drink alcohol. They were asked why. They would answer and say, how can a sane, sound-minded person intoxicate himself and then act like an idiot in the streets and among his family? Heather, this is someone that didn't believe in Allah, but he said, this is harmful. I don't want to approach it. I don't want to come near it because look at its consequence and what it brings of harm to myself. This is the normal, sane person keeps away from that which is harmful. And sometimes, I say to you, sometimes some matters could be confusing. Some sins could appear as though they are good, right? Isn't that what the world is doing? This is what a shaitan does. So they take homosexuality, for example. Yeah, but these are two people that love each other. Why are you going to get involved? It's good. If you separate them, then they're going to fall into mental health. They might become suicidal at the end, right? So it's decorated, it's beautified, it's colored, and then people start having it. You know what? Okay, I won't practice it, but I feel sorry for those that are involved in it. Khalas, I accept you the way you are. This is what happens. So sometimes a sin could become confusing to people. They are confused. I'll tell you, a drug and alcohol, yeah, okay, but it brings great, it's a stress reliever. Smoking, hacks, but smoke it out. Smoke out your problems in life and the stress that you have in life, and it should be good. And some people say, yeah, maybe. Sounds convincing. Let me try it. Actually, it worked. Right? Huwa turak'at, instead of a cigarette, would have relieved you much more than that cigarette. But this is how distortion becomes at the end of time. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sanawatun khadda'at. At the end of time, deceptive years come upon the people. What is haram becomes decorated and it looks like it's good. And what is good becomes dirty among the people. And people keep away from it and distance themselves from it. So we need to be careful of this matter. And so when you fall into this confusion, so you're now confused. Is this haram or not? What's going to solve the confusion? Al-Wahi. Al-Wahi. Read the Quran with Sunnah. And it clarifies your confusion and will tell you what's halal and what's haram, even if that haram was committed by the entire society. This is why al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they would say, كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. How can someone avoid something if he has no clue of what to avoid? Therefore, we need to seek knowledge. We have to learn our deen, so that when you learn your deen, you know what's al-halal al-haram, you'll know that the haram is filthy, disgusting, I keep away from it. Okay. So that is the first point and the first reason in how to avoid a sin. Always, always, always bring to your attention and to your mind, sins are filthy and disgusting and despicable in nature. and they are harmful to me and my health and my spiritual state and my relationship with Allah and my grief and my afterlife. So I better walk the other way. The second reason of how to break free from sins and temptation is to have shyness of Allah. Al-haya'u min Allah. Let me explain this to you. You see, when a servant knows that Allah is watching, that's what haya is. Al-haya from Allah, being shy of Allah, is to be aware that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching you all time. When you know that Allah is watching over you and He sees you and He hears you, now you will be too shy before your Lord to expose yourself to His anger and His punishment. Shyness in Arabic is called al-haya. Well, haya, it comes from the word hay. And hay means living. The one who is shy of Allah, he is a living person. He has life in his heart. The one who has lost his shyness of Allah, he is a dead man walking because there's no more life in his heart. Today, no one would dare to commit a sin in front of his mother or his father or his brother or sister or in front of his wife or in front of her husband, nor in front of the children, even if it was a small child. No, I won't do it. Embarrassing, filthy. How am I going to do a sin in front of my father? That's dirty, that's disgusting. I feel extremely embarrassed and shy. The question is, wasn't Allah worth that shyness from you more than anyone else? Considering the fact that they will not judge you on the day of judgment, it would be Allah who will judge you on the day of judgment. So al-haya'u min Allah, you need to grasp the reality of what it means to be shy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallahi, if you were in a room alone and you heard the squeaking of a door, you will immediately drop what was haram from your hands and you would be shaking. And then when you realize that the door was opened by the wind that came in and gave you air for you to breathe coming from Allah Azza wa Jal, if you feel at that moment a sigh of relief, that's dangerous. Because were you scared that someone was at the door? And you weren't afraid of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal was looking at you all this time? Then we need to refresh this kind of knowledge in our hearts and in our minds once again. And I tell you here a practical tip. Look, whenever you approach to commit a sin, no matter what it is, and wallah, today's sins are known, and by far the greatest of them is adult content online. That's not my conclusion, my statistic. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the greatest fitna upon men is women. That's what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And do you think that as time advances, it gets easier? La wallah, it gets worse. Especially with this type of technology. People are very tempted to fall into a sin. Like, without even wanting to see it, it pops up in front of you. And then one thing to another, especially on social media, from one reel to another, from one short to another, from one profile to another, will you see al-haram? The human fitrah, if he doesn't keep this thing away from him, he will fall into al-haram, whoever it is. Okay, what do we do? You know, I tell you, when you approach to commit a sin, at that very moment, as a believer, you know deep down that Allah is watching, right? You know this. Of course you know this. Because if you don't believe Allah is watching, a person is a kafir. And that feeling of Allah is watching, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls it wa'idullahi fi qalbi kulli mu'min. It is the advisor of Allah that is installed in the heart of every believer. Any sin you're going to do, there is a panic inside the heart because you know Allah is watching. I want to tell you something. Next time, if this happens, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us from sins. Don't suppress that feeling. Don't close that feeling. Don't say, I'll deal with this later and shut it. No. What you're supposed to do is, as you're there, bring this feeling up until your tongue. Say aloud, Allah is watching. Say Bismillah. Say A'udhu Billah Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Allah says, Alam Ya'lam Bi Anna Allah Yara. Doesn't this person know that Allah is watching? Answer Allah. Say, yes, I have the knowledge that you're watching. Allah, Bismillah. Say it aloud. You know what this does? As you are repeating these words, it begins to cut and cool down this desire and temptation within you. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَا يَثْقُلُ مَعَ اسْمِ اللَّهِ شَيْءٍ. Nothing can outweigh the name of Allah. So if Allah Azza wa Jal's name is on one side of the scale, and your temptation and desire, as strong as it is, it's on the other side of the scale, nothing will outweigh Allah's name. Allah's name would weigh heavier, and your desire and your temptation will be thrown out the window and out of your heart, and you'll move away from that sin. Bring these words, bring them to life. Say, Allah is watching. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I give you an example of Yusuf عليه السلام. Yusuf. Yusuf عليه السلام was in that setting. The doors were closed. The wife of the king had shut all the doors and locked them. And he was a beautiful man. And she was a beautiful woman. And she adorned and prepared herself for a zina. And she said to him, هيت لك. I've prepared myself for you. Let's do al-haram. You know what he said? He said, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. He said the word Allah. He said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. I seek your protection, O Allah. See, at that moment of temptation, say Allah. Say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And the next step, what do you do after that? The next step is, after you say that, get up and move away from there. Get up and move. Because if you observe the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, after he said ma'ad Allah, what did he do? Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, wastabaqa al-bab. He raced to the door. He ran away from that very place his foot was, where he was called to al-haram. Al-haram was only centimeters away from him. Istabaqa al-bab. He ran to the door. What happened when he got to the door? Wa'alfaya sayyidaha lada al-bab. The master, the king, her husband, opened the door. You see that? What's that? What does that imply? It implies relief. Khalas, it's all over. Between you, running away from the area of sin, just move just a few meters before relief comes. Khalas. Enter, if you were just about to commit a sin, and you said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and you got up and walked 3-4 steps, it's all over. There's no more burning sensation in the heart, and there is no more desire for the sin in the heart. Khalas, it's killed, it's gone. Allahu Akbar. Look at the practical solution. And this is through the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And this can only be done when you are conscious that Allah is watching. And you know, if this happens, well, I tell you something. Listen. If you do this now, if you practice it, the next time you're approaching a sin, you know what level you reach in Islam? What kind of level you reach? You'll reach the level of Al-Ihsan. The highest level you can reach, which is excellence. Why? What is Ihsan? أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. That you worship Allah as though you can see Him. But obviously you can't see Him. So what's the other solution? فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. If you cannot see Him, then you're well aware that He can see you. So you only walked away from the haram because you know Allah is watching you. هذا إحسان. Not Islam, not Iman. إحسان. والله يحب المحسنين. Allah loves those who are excellent. He loves المحسنين. You can reach all that by walking away from a sin. Hey, now you can. Try it and see what kind of Iman is going to start growing in your heart. Because I told you, the obligations, you might have it all down pat. You're doing everything. 5 daily prayers, or siyam. That's not your jihad. Probably that's not your jihad in life. Your jihad is these sins. And I tell you something, don't give up. Don't ever give up on yourself. Continue to fight. Continue to struggle. Keep going. Never give up. Because the day you give up, you allowed the shaitan to win the battle. And the day you keep going until you break the temptation, the shaitan has lost the battle. And I tell you something, wallahi, for you to die as a mujahid fighting your sin is much better than dying upon a sin having given up from it. At least you meet Allah Azza wa Jalla, a mujahid. You meet him with a person that is facing your sins and struggling against them. So implement this kind of advice that was mentioned. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who fear their Lord in the unseen, when no one can see them, لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. For them is maghfirah, a huge forgiveness. Just by avoiding the sin, Allah forgives. Just by avoiding the sin, Allah forgives sins. هذا بالقرآن. إن تجتنبوا كبائر ما تنهون نكفر عنكم سيئاتكم. If you avoid major sins, just by avoiding them, you're getting minor sins wiped away. Just by avoid, doing nothing. You just avoid it. الله أكبر. لهم مغفرة. A great forgiveness. وأجر كبير. And a huge reward, which is the paradise. And after you implement this solution that I told you about, you need to respect your weakness. After you break free from a sin and you do it for the very first time in your life, Bismillah, you've become a muhsin, you need to respect your weakness. Because after that, you're weak. A shaitan can come any moment after that, a minute, 2 minutes later, and tempt you back into the sin. Respect your weakness. What does it mean to respect your weakness? I tell you something. You know, when someone comes out of surgery, where do they put him? In which unit? In the ICU, intensive care unit. He came out of a surgery, they put him in the intensive care unit. What's the intensive care unit? You know what it is? It is where nurses are around you 24/7, and doctors are around, and machines are there, and all the levels, and that could be seen. What it means when you break free from a sin for the very first time, respect your weakness, and assume that you have just come out of surgery and you are in the ICU. It means don't be alone. Make sure you're around people. Make sure you're around people like the patient and there's nurses around him. You need people around, you need good people around you. Come to Al-Masjid, do something beneficial, and as a result, it'll strengthen you until you have that resilience and that power, and that bi-idhnillah, you'll never see that sin ever again in your life.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.